I'd like now to welcome Linda Siegel. She's with us every Friday with the legislative update during New Mexico's legislative session. She's our eyes and ears in the roundhouse. Good morning, Linda.
Well, good morning, Max. You're a lot younger than Mary Charlotte.
Well, I sound that way. I hope I sound that way, at least.
Don't tell her I said that.
Well, I hear there's drama happening over at the roundhouse. We've got the first Republican House in how long?
60 years.
In over 60 years.
Yes.
And is that leading to contentious action over there in the legislature?
Oh, absolutely. There's been a pent-up agenda by House Republican members because they haven't been able to get certain bills through for many, many years, but especially during the administration of Governor Martinez. So that means lots of bills that the Democrats don't like are passing out of the House and going over to the democratically controlled Senate, where they're not doing so well. Let's say that.
Oh, any examples of these bills that are getting through?
Well, here's a good example that just happened yesterday. Right to Work, what's been called Right to Work, which is a bill to not allow unions in businesses if they don't want to have unions, which is actually the law as it is now. But there's been a big push to buy certain businesses in the state and by the Republicans to get rid of the bill that allows for unionization, particularly in government entities. So that bill has passed the House and was reported over to the Senate yesterday and assigned to some Senate committees. But what happened is that the Republicans in the Senate tried to circumvent the committee process and bring that bill to the chamber, to the floor, as we call it, and be heard right then in a committee as the whole of the whole, which is all 42 senators. And so there was a big vote. There was a lot of discussion, and then there was a vote, which was totally on party lines. There are 25 Democrats in the Senate and 17 Republicans, to keep the bill in the committee process. So that bill actually will be heard in the Senate Public Affairs Committee this weekend. But that's one example of the contention and the tension. And many other House bills on the immigrant driver's license repeal, that's gone over to the Senate and was assigned to a committee. And some of the education agenda of the Republicans and Governor Martinez administration are over in the Senate now.
Now, if a bill stays in the committee process, how does that affect its chances of passing the Senate?
Well, in the instance of some of these bills, if they go to the committees, they will probably be tabled, which means they won't be going anywhere. So that's why that the Republicans in the House would like to see the whole Senate discuss them and vote on them as a committee of the whole. But that's outside of the process of the Senate rules, where they go to committees and are heard in committees, and they either move out of the committees or they die in the committees.
Interesting. Tell us what's happening with the driver's licenses.
Well, that bill, too, there are two of those bills, and those bills are in the committee process in the Senate. So we'll see what happens with those.
Because as I understand it, in New Mexico, undocumented immigrants can currently apply for driver's licenses.
Correct.
And the governor has been trying to repeal this.
Yes, since 2003, when a bill was passed and Governor Richardson signed it, that it allowed undocumented immigrants to go and provide documentation of who they are, get a driver's license, then be able to buy insurance and hopefully drive safely on New Mexico roads. But Governor Martinez, since she came in, that has been one of her agenda items to repeal that driver's license bill. And of course, what's happened, we may have been the first or second state to pass that, but now 11 states have some form of undocumented immigrant driver's license. And for many people, it's a safety issue.
So New Mexico started this trend, and now we're trying to
back one of the early ones in the trend. I think us and Utah, and I think there was one other state initially. But now other states are passing it, and we're trying to repeal it. So.
Now you're telling me there's some action over the lottery scholarships.
Yes. Now, this has been a controversial issue for a number of years. About 15 years ago, the legislature created the lottery scholarship. And we agreed that we would create it, and part of the money would go to fund higher education students, actually fund students to go to the colleges and universities of their choice. If they graduated from a local New Mexico high school, then they would be eligible for a lottery scholarship, which would, after the first semester, would pay their tuition. And the problem has been, in the last few years, that the lottery sales are flat. So we had a very interesting bill pass out of the Senate just this week, which would sort of change how they're selling the lottery tickets. The bill initially would have allowed people to buy lottery tickets with credit cards, and that kind of freaked a lot of people out because it does enable you to perhaps buy more lottery tickets than you can afford if you can charge them on your credit card. So what happened ultimately is that we will now, if this bill passes the House, since it's already passed the Senate, it would allow someone to use their debit card up to $20 to buy lottery tickets at the gas pump. So you wouldn't have to go into the store to buy your lottery tickets. They could install a ticket sales booth or whatever they use at the actual gas pump.
And then the gas pump would print a lottery ticket out.
Yes,
right,
yes,
then and there.
Yes, and that the idea behind that is that may increase ticket sales. Because a lot of people just go buy gas and they never go into the convenience stores, which sell most of the lottery tickets. And that was actually quite controversial.
Yeah.
And the other aspect of it is that it removed the requirement to give 30% of the total lottery sales to the scholarship fund. And now it's simply that we have to give the same amount that we had in 2015, in the fiscal year of 2015, to the lottery scholarships so that they can spend more money to promote lottery ticket sales and hopefully ultimately increase lottery ticket sales.
So we're only obligated to give a certain dollar amount.
That's the same as this year's. And then if lottery sales do increase, then the amount allocated for scholarships will increase. But we've been subsidizing the lottery scholarship through general fund and diversion of other funds for the last few years. So we need a long-term solution for the lottery scholarship.
And does this cover all lottery tickets that I see for sale, including the scratch and wins?
Yes, everything. So everyone go out and buy more lottery tickets so you can help your college students.
Please do, yeah, on behalf of all young people in New Mexico. Tell us about what's happening with the budget.
Well, of course, the budget is the most important thing that the legislature has to pass every single year because that's what runs state government. And we have about a $6.2 billion budget because that's how much revenue we have for this year. And, of course, we've talked about on this show that we anticipated in July of 2014 that we'd have a lot more revenue because gas and oil prices were so high, and then when they plummeted, we were left with a lot less new revenue. And that's what the House Appropriations and Finance Committee, they worked on a budget, and they've sent that budget over to the Senate, and now the Senate Finance Committee is reworking that budget, so to speak, because there's a little difference there, of course, because the House, controlled by the Republicans, had a little different approach to the budget than perhaps the Senate Finance Committee people will. And they were actually going to the Senate Finance Committee was going to talk about their amendments, their changes to House Bill 2, that's what we call the big budget bill, yesterday, but I'm imagining it's going to happen today because it didn't happen yesterday. So we'll see what's happening with that. But when the Senate changes House Bill 2, even the slightest, it has to go back to the House for approval. And usually what happens with budgets is the House will make a budget, the Senate will change it a little bit, they'll send it back to the House and say, accept our changes, and the House will say, no, we don't like those changes. And they'll send it back to the Senate and say, take the changes off, and the Senate will say, no. And then they'll have a conference committee made up of a few members, a handful of members from both chambers, and they'll work out any differences. The budget usually goes to the governor on the last few days of the session.
That sounds like an involved process.
It is. It is quite involved. Lots of discussion about.
And I imagine in the House-Senate party split that we have, it's even more involved than usual.
Yes, yes. It's changed the dynamic somewhat. Even though there's always tension between the House and the Senate on hearing bills, one of the things happening right now is that the Speaker of the House wrote a letter to the leader of the Senate and said, why haven't you heard any of our House bills over in the Senate? Because we only have 15 days left now and on a 60-day session. And the Senate sort of responded, well, you haven't heard any of our bills either. So there's this tension going back and forth. But now, in the last couple of weeks, both sides will start hearing the bills of the other side.
Because a budget needs to pass by the end of session.
Well, the budget needs to pass, and then there are like at least 1,800 bills, regular bills that change statutes, and memorials, and constitutional amendments. There's different legislation that's been introduced, and people want some of those bills passed, too.
I imagine they do. Now, just before we came on air, you were mentioning something, and I'm not sure what this is, called capital outlay.
Yes. Another one of the hot-button issues for legislators. Now, capital outlay, as we always talk about it on this show, and it's called what people call pork, the pork that you take home to your districts. And we have about $200-plus million in capital outlay money available for projects. So those would be in a community like Santa Fe, what the Santa Fe Public Schools need. I mean, they've got some requests in for different improvements. They can be building improvements. They can be solar. They can be fences. They can be all kinds of things. So
we all need a little pork.
Yes. The other white meat, as Mary Charlotte and I talk about. Anyway, the public schools have requests in, the Santa Fe Community College, we have requests in, the city has requests, the county has requests, and they're all related to projects, construction projects, building projects, community centers, water wells, whatever. Could be any number of things. And every legislator gets a little pot of pork, a little bit of money to divvy up among their district's needs. But this year, the governor, we understand, has requested that all the money go to roads. Well, the legislators aren't really thrilled with that idea. It's normally divided a third, a third, a third. So the governor gets a third of that $200 million, the House gets a third, the Senate gets a third, and then every legislator gets a little bit of their chamber's money. And then that's when they pick their projects that are definitely needs in their community.
Yeah, I imagine the teachers aren't happy to hear this.
Well, actually, the teachers support, this is money that can't go to operations. It can only go to projects, to construction projects,
okay,
to needs that facilities have. And so it's a positive thing often, because a lot of good projects get funded from the capital outlay money. But the conflict will be over how much does everybody get. And that will appear for all of us in the next week or so.
Are there any projects that are on the chopping block if the governor gets all the money for roads?
Well, then no one will get money for their local projects. The schools won't get their money, the community colleges won't, the cities, the counties won't get any of their money. I don't think that at least the Democratic-controlled Senate is not going to go along with that.
I'll be interested to see what happens.
Yes, that'll be another hot-button issue over the next week or so.
Is there any other action over education going on currently?
Well, here is another area of conflict, because the administration, the governor's administration, has wanted a requirement that children be retained in the third grade if they can't read. And, of course, that sounds reasonable, but a lot of schools work on providing intervention to children all along so that they can get them reading. So there's a different philosophical approach there between should you retain someone in a grade, the third grade, versus should you not, should you keep intervention projects. Anyway, that's a bill that's passed the Republican-controlled House and is now in the Senate, and it doesn't look too promising over in the Senate for that bill. There are also, there's a teacher evaluation bill, which is quite controversial with the Democrats versus the Republicans. The Republicans, the Secretary of the Education Department has implemented by rule a teacher evaluation program, which many school districts don't like. And so now there's a bill to try to fix that. We'll see what happens. That's supposed to be coming out of the House soon. So there's just lots of controversial issues along party lines.
It sounds heated. And how many days left?
I think it's 15 days now.
So we're
until the end. It ends March 21st at noon.
Okay, so we're down to the wire on all
yes.
of these issues.
Yes, particularly since there are so many bills that are bottled up in each chamber and they haven't been heard by the other chamber.
I'll be interested to see what happens. Is there anything else we need to know about?
Well, there are some other hot bills if we have a little time.
We do, yeah.
Okay. They're always in 60-day sessions, which are the long sessions where any kind of legislation can be introduced, there's always a bill to force more disclosure of lobbyists. And, of course, I am one of those lobbyists, but I support, you know, that all of our information should be clear on the Secretary of State's website. But there's it's always a controversial bill, and so a bill to require more reporting of who your clients are and what bills you're working on has been passed out of the Senate Judiciary and going to the Senate floor. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, we'll be waiting with bated breath to see how it goes.